Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. We will read responsively verses 23 to 28 of Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, verses 23 to 28. Bible says in Mark chapter 1, 23, it says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come into your house this morning, Father. Lord, I pray you will be with our preacher, Lord, as he brings the message you've given him to speak to us, Father. Lord, I pray you'll fill him with your power, fill him with your spirit, Lord. Use his words, Father, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to each and one of our hearts, Lord. Give us a great day, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Here in Mark chapter 1 is, to me, one of the most unusual scriptures in the Bible. There's a statement made that we read pretty glibly and we pass by that I want to focus on today. May I say this? We know that Jesus was and is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We become the sons of God because of our new birth through him. But Jesus isn't just a son of God. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus didn't come to earth to become man. Jesus always was the man part of God. The Bible says that he came to earth to put on flesh. He's always been the man part of God. He had to put on a body that could die so that he could pay our sin debt for us. He had to put human flesh on, but that's why in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." In other words, Jesus has always been the man part of God. And Jesus lived on earth the life God originally wanted us to live. He lived exactly the way God wanted man to live when he created Adam and Eve. He lived our righteousness for us. Here in Mark chapter 1, Jesus commands a demon to leave a man. When you see the term unclean spirit, notice small s. That's an unclean spirit. It means the spirit of someone or something else. When it's capital S, it's the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. I love what Jesus said. He looked at this man but saw the demon and he said, "I command you to come out of him." This is very interesting. The demon did. And the priests and the leaders of the synagogue were amazed that at Jesus' command that a demon would leave a person and have to leave them alone. They said, "What new doctrine is this?" I love this. They said, "By what authority does he do this?" Now watch this. They said, "By what authority and by what power does he do this that even the demons obey him?" Now watch this. Who are these demons? If you look in verse number 24, the Bible says, the demon said to Jesus, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." The demons are the angels that fell with Satan and Lucifer there in Isaiah chapter 14.
Yes, sir.
They knew Jesus while they were in heaven before the fall.
Yeah.
When Jesus spoke, they said, I know who you are and I got to obey you. That was the authority that Jesus had. Now watch this. Please don't get mad at me. Our society is addicted to what they call success. We feel we have to succeed more than everyone else in every area of life. Untold numbers of books and publications are written on how to succeed, how to have a successful this, how to have a successful this, how to have a successful that by people that never were a success at anything. You can even lose millions of dollars and write books on how easy it is to lose millions of dollars and make millions of dollars because you failed. Now listen to me very carefully. We live in a world that if we don't do it faster, do it bigger, do it better, do it more expensively, do it with more performance or higher performance, then we're not a success. I've experienced a lot in life. I'm not an old man yet, but I'm getting there. I've seen a lot. I've been around a lot of life. I've been around a lot of great, successful people in life, not just in the spiritual world. I've been around a lot of very successful people. I don't claim to be a success. I know what God says about success. Can I tell you how to live your life? Let me show you something. I decided a long time ago I'd let God determine what my success is. I'd just obey him. Everybody listen to me very carefully here for a second. The day I realized I don't have to be a success, I just have to obey him, is the day I realized I don't have to compete with anybody about anything. Brother Dorsey, I love you. You're my friend. Do you know what? Brother Dorsey and I are not in competition with our church. He's never asked me, nor I him, how many did you have in church last week, brother? I got to have more than him next week. We rejoice in visitors, people saved, people baptized, people's lives being changed. I've never asked him one time how many he runs in church. Say why? I'm not in competition with him. He's not pastoring Grace Baptist Church. He's pastoring his church. He's in a different state. How do we know what success is? If you're not careful, you'll look at the crowd at the ball game and say, it's successful. Yeah, it's successful, but it's successful for the devil, not for God. Bible says that thou mayest have good success. Did you know you can have bad success? The liquor industry has bad success. The drug industry has bad success. Oh, they're very successful at making money, but they're successful at doing something bad to be successful. So, I quit competing. I don't care if somebody gets from point A to point B faster than I do. I'm not intimidated by the guy on my tail on the highway. If he wants to go around, let him go around. He can pay the ticket. I'm not going to. Right, Brother Randy? I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in competition with my wife. I'm not in competition with my children. I'm not in competition with you. I'm not going to be in competition with my staff. Do you know I hope he outproduces me? Challenge is on. Go for it, man. I'm for it. I hope to God he does. You say, doesn't that bother you? No, that encourages me. It is not a competition. My success is not based on results. God's success is based on obedience, not results. Man looks at results. God looks at obedience. I'm going to make a statement here. that if you're listening to me ought to hurt. I believe that God and all of his greatness can boil down success into one word. Obey. Obey. All the books, all the seminars, all the college classes, all the training, all the money, all the time, all the life put into success can be boiled down into one word. Obey. Now listen to me. Obedience is not just the knowledge of what to do. Obedience is not just the knowledge of how to do something or when to do something. Can I tell you something? Obedience means you do it. Obedience is an action word, not an intellectual word. I don't care if you know 2 plus 2 equals 4. If you write 5 down on the test, it's wrong. Well, I knew it, but you didn't get it right. You didn't obey. It's that simple. Just because you know something does not mean you are obedient. Obedience is an action to a command or to what is right to do or to a truth. Without action, there is no obedience. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean. Brother Dorsey, I want you to get up and go from that chair to that chair. He's sitting there thinking about it. Is he obeying? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know how to get up and go to that chair? All right, so he knows how to do it. He doesn't obey till, now obey, go to that chair. Get out of my chair. He didn't obey till he got up and did something. Thank you, you can have a seat in your chair. May I propose something to you? Listen to this statement that Jesus made. He was talking to a demon. And the demon obeyed his voice. Isn't it a tragic thing that a demon from hell can obey better than the average Christian? Isn't it a shame that a demon from hell is more obedient to God than the average Christian? Everybody doing okay? Not time for the invitation yet, but hang on. There is no success without obedience. And the degree of your success will be based on the degree of your obedience. I am tired of preachers that get up and say, well, soul winning doesn't work to build my church. Soul winning's not there to build your church. Soul winning is there to get the gospel out to every creature. Amen. If the byproduct of it is that your church grows, wonderful. But if it's not, God blesses the obedience, not the result. Everybody doing okay? Yes. I believe we're supposed to get the gospel out to every creature. Did you know I don't believe that every time you go out, somebody's going to get saved? You're not responsible for that. God is. That lost person responding to the gospel is. Everybody doing okay? See, our job is to get the news out. It's their job to respond to it. That's between them and God, not between me and them. Man, I'm about to have some fun. We know that the Bible is truth. Can I tell you something? Not a more successful book anywhere in the world than that old black book right there. Still works. I can tell you whether a politician's right, how close to that book are they heading? I can tell you when a politician's lying, when he opens his mouth. Can I tell you something? Success is not based on results. Success is based on your obedience to truth. It is a shame to me that a demon, a fallen angel, a follower of Satan obeys God better than most of the Christians sitting in this room today. I just happen to believe that if a demon can obey God, that a Christian can too. Say, preacher, you're awful simple about it. Well, you can call it simple, but I call it truth. Let me give you what God says are the keys to a successful life and the keys to obedience. Number one, the Bible says that nature obeys God, but it doesn't mean that God causes everything in nature to happen. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse number 25. I want to show you something very interesting here. The Bible says in Luke 8, 25, "And he saith unto them, Where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Boy, do we teach that the wrong way. Let me ask you a question. The disciples were in a bad storm, and they feared for their lives. Everybody listen to me. They feared for their lives. A storm came up. How many times I've heard preachers get up and say, God brought that storm. God didn't bring the storm. Jesus calmed it. He didn't bring it. According to the Bible, there is a God of this world, the prince and power of the air. God did not write a computer program and put it in your brain, and everything on earth is working out the way God programmed it to be. That's Calvinism, that is Satanism, that's evolution, and it's wrong. God gave every man a free will to choose right and wrong. God did not make Adam and Eve to disobey, he made them to obey. Everybody doing okay? God did not predestinate your life, every bad thing to happen. Why did God allow this? Maybe you didn't give God the opportunity to do what God wanted. I'm so sick and tired of people blaming God for everything bad that happens in this world. How about we blame the God of this world, Satan? Everybody doing okay? God didn't pre-program the storm and say, let me show you what I could do. No, the storm came up and Jesus said, where is your faith? Winds and waves be calm. And at his very word, they calmed. He didn't create the storm. He calmed the storm. Everybody doing okay? Isn't it amazing? A godless society, when a tornado hits, will say, well, this is an act of God. We blame God for the tornado. We blame God for the hurricane. May I say something? Well, this is an act of God. Why would God do that? God gave you enough sense not to build your house so close to the water anyway. Anybody knows it's going to flood. Why do you want to put your house where it floods? Don't get mad at him because you were the dumb one to put your house there. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. We're going to drop another bomb here in a second. God can use nature. But the destructive power of nature is Satan, not God. Quit believing, and folks, I just can't sugarcoat it, I'm sorry. Quit believing the Calvinists and the Catholics to say that, well, God's in charge of everything. We don't understand God. No, we don't understand him, but he didn't create the bad, we did. The bad is a result of our sin. Did you know it didn't rain for 1,700 years on the earth? But God brought rain because of man's sin. I gotta hurry. I want to spend so much time on this point, but I won't. So, nature obeys God. Folks, listen to me. If the sun obeys God, and the moon obeys God, and the winds and the waves can obey God, and the critters can obey God, I do believe mosquitoes came out of Hades. But anyway, Lord have mercy. And stink bugs for sure. All right. Now, can I say something? If nature, if a puppy dog can obey, how come Christians can't? Why do we find it so difficult to obey God? I can tell you why. Because you want to be God instead of letting God be God. Point number two.
I stomped hard enough on number one. God says that we are to obey his voice. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 11 very quickly here. I'm going to read, believe it or not, I'm going to read about 11 verses here. So I'm going to read quickly. Jeremiah chapter 11. I'm going to read verses. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 7 for time's sake here. Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. These are God's words. Now watch this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, look at me. That proves to you this isn't Jeremiah's words. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. That means Jeremiah heard these words, correct? Means God spoke them. That means they are inspired by God. Inspire, breathed, God breathed. You can't talk without breathing. You quit breathing, you quit talking. Did you ever get the wind knocked out of you? You're going, y'all know what I'm talking about? No air, no noise. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I command you your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And as it is this day, then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them, for I earnestly protest unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Folks, God said we're to obey his voice. His voice is the word, or are the words of God that he gave us. The King James Bible. To the English speaking people, the King James Bible is the word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, man's versions of the Bible is man's words, not God's words. I get a little sick and tired of people trying to say, well, my Bible's a little easier to understand. The reason you need a Bible that's easier to understand is because you don't know the author. You get saved and the Holy Ghost moves in, he'll teach you all things. As a 4-year-old boy, 4.5 years old, I understood I was a sinner on my way to hell and needed a Savior. Tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress and she led me to Christ. Hey, if a 4.5-year-old can understand it, how come an adult can't? Everybody doing all right? Come on. God's voice is the Bible. Man's voice is his perversions of it. I don't care if it's the NASV. I don't care if it's the New King James. I don't care if it's the ASV or the HIV for the alphabet soup people. You've got the gender neutral Bible, and you've got the sodomite Bible, and you've got all the different versions. You say, what is that? That's man's words, not God's words. Did you know this is the only one not allowed to be preached in a communist country? You know, there's never been a revival preached anywhere in the world since 1611 to the English-speaking people without the King James Bible. Say why? Because these are God's words, not man's words. You don't change them. You don't drive by the Methodist church over here. It says whoever believes has eternal life. That's man's words. You can believe the wrong thing and die and go to hell. Everybody doing okay? So I don't think you ought to point those out. Then don't do it. I will. Jesus said, or God says in his word in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, capital W. And the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works within the confines of the Word of God. Somebody gets up and tells you the Holy Spirit told you to do something, and it's not in that book right there. They're a heretic. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, the Holy Spirit said that I was supposed to get up and sell everything I had and go to the mission field. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do that. Well, the Holy Spirit said I was supposed to get up and all of a sudden some language came out of me and I started jibber jabbering and flipping on the floor. Guess what? You had a feeling, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible is the Word of God. And it's God's word to man how to live successfully on the earth. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Folks, go back 60 years in our public school system when the teachers still read out of the Bible in the public school classrooms. We kicked God out and we wonder why our schools are run worse than a prison. Everybody doing okay? It wasn't until 1960 that we had our first Catholic president. Because everybody was afraid that the Catholic Church would be empowering the federal government. John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic president, just so you know. That's back when America was a Christian nation. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success. Oh, God said that success and the word of God go together. Did you know a lost person that lives by the principles of that book will be successful? Success is not just to the Christian, it's to the principle and to the truth. Everybody doing okay? They'll have greater success if they're saved. But if they're following what that book says, they'll have good success. Boy, that's a good statement. Number next, I got it. By the way, just knowing the Bible is not obedience. Preacher, it doesn't matter how much Bible we know, how much are we living? When Dad said, take the trash out, I knew how to do it. It didn't know how much, it didn't matter how much I knew about the trash. It didn't matter if I knew what every piece of trash in the bags were and in the can. I may have had a knowledge of it, but if I didn't have obedience and take it out, guess what? There was judgment coming. Matter of fact, judgment was over. Penalty was coming. We were going to have a board meeting. It was going to be applied to the seat of knowledge. Just because you know something doesn't mean you're obeying it. Hey, you don't have obedience till you do what it says. Let me ask you a question. How obedient are you as a Christian? Preacher, you're getting a little wild today. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I am to you. We're supposed to go soul winning. We're supposed to tell others about Jesus Christ. When's the last time you ever told anybody about Jesus? Everybody doing okay? I believe once you're saved, the Bible teaches once you're saved, you should get baptized. How obedient have you been? It's the first act of obedience. I believe that the church is something that we're supposed to join. Preached on it last week. I'm going to make this statement again, but I'm going to make it right here. You don't need to pray about something that you're supposed to obey. We want to sound real spiritual. We'll all pray about that. God commanded it. What is there to pray about? Everybody doing okay? Say, preacher, you're just too plain and simple. Good, at least you're understanding it. You might get mad at me, but at least I know you're listening. If God, when God said, thou shalt not kill, you don't have to pray about it. When God said, thou shalt not lie, you don't have to pray about it. Well, I've got to pray about whether I should lie to my mom or dad or not. There is nothing to pray about. When God commands it, we're to obey it. Hey, we just flop the military chow out. Just choke it down. It'll be all right. So we said, number one, that nature obeys God. Number two, we said that we're to obey his voice, which is the word of God. Number three, we're not to obey our sinful nature. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want to read one verse to you. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 12. Romans chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says, let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Too many of us yield to our body and to our fleshly sinful nature and not the word of God himself. Everybody doing okay? When you hit the snooze button 14 times, you're obeying the lust of the flesh. Ouch, we just went from preaching to meddling, didn't we? We are not to let sin reign or have control of our lives. We came from a generation, if it feels good, do it. Feeling is fleshly. There's some feelings you have that you should not have, or it's at the wrong time. Anybody doing okay? Our sinful flesh and our sinful nature wants us to obey sin and rebel against God. Again, Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he said, hey, Eve, look at it. It's good fruit. It's beautiful. It'll taste good. It'll make you wise. He tempted her with fleshly, with sensual things. I'm not saying sexual, I said sensual. Your senses. I taught a whole Bible study series on biblical senses and the senses that God gave us in the Bible. Did you know every sense you have, God has? We were created in his image. Here's the problem. An animal is led by its senses. A lost person is a body and a soul, but they have a dead spirit. That's why they go about life living led by their senses. I'm hungry, I'll eat. I want this, I'll get it. I don't know if I'm a man or a woman, so I'll figure it out as I go. Folks, it doesn't take real long. Just look at the plumbing, you'll figure it out. Well, I'm confused. You're confused because you've listened to more confused people. Listen to the truth. Did you know two roosters don't have a problem figuring out they're roosters? You put two bulls in the pasture, they know they're both bulls. Amen, Brother Joe? Can I tell you something? It's really not that hard. Yet we have human beings going about living like animals led by their senses. We have churches filled with people living by their senses and not by the word of God. Well, I just didn't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like doing something. Aren't you glad at 4:30 when I drug my carcass out of bed, I didn't tell you, well, I don't feel like getting up at this hour. I do a lot of things in life I don't feel like doing. I didn't feel like letting some toe-headed idiot take my daughter away. Emphasis on the... Anyway. Can I say something? It's not always what I feel like, what is right to do. We have lived so long saying, well, I have so much on me. I got to give something up, so I'll give church up. I'd give my job up before I gave church up. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm not telling you to go quit your job because you don't like your job. There are parts to every job that you're not going to like. I don't care who you are or what you are. Preacher, there are days I wonder, why do I got to do that? Mrs. Diener, I enjoyed being there for your family a few weeks ago. That's not an enjoyable part of my job. Seeing your grandson and your granddaughter get saved, now that was exciting. Amen. But the fact that their six-week-old baby went to heaven wasn't enjoyable. Watching people hurt, mourn, and cry, it never gets old. Beth, your mama dying and going to heaven, I didn't enjoy that, but I sure do enjoy talking about heaven and how wonderful it is and how good she's doing there today. Matter of fact, kind of envious of her a little bit. She doesn't have to put up with this mess. Can I tell you something? I don't enjoy all the problems, but I sure do love doing what I do for God. You see, we're not supposed to obey our sinful nature. We want to decide right and wrong for ourselves. We want to be God. You go to Genesis chapter 3, Satan said to Eve, in the day thou eatest, thou can be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you could be like God. You could decide good and evil for yourself. It's right out of Isaiah chapter 14 when Satan said, I will be like God. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. And since the moment we've sinned, we struggle. Is God God or am I God? Well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. Your problem is your eye. Get your eye out of the way. And what did God say? Did you know your eyes fail? That's why I got to wear these stupid things. If I take them off, I don't see things right. And even with them on, sometimes I don't see things right. Especially if it's color. Say why? Because I'm a sinner just like you. I am not about to trust my eyes. I'll trust his. Amen. Boy, that's a good statement. See, the problem is we want to be our own God. Well, I just don't think church ought to be that way. Don't care what you think it ought to be. We're doing it what God said. Well, where's the drum set, preacher? In the liberal church, not ours. How come people aren't up dancing in the aisle? Because it's sensual and that is worldly. It's not godly. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. Get my wife back up here and sing like that, and I'm about to come unscrewed. Gentle shepherd. Ooh, man, that's better than let's just have a little talk with Jesus any day. Are we doing all right? You see, we've allowed the world to influence the church. I used this not long ago. Come on back up here, sinner. You're going to be the world. You represent it quite well. Used to be, 75 years ago, the world and the church were this far apart. The world started getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Stop. We're still the same distance apart. But now the church is more worldly than the world was 75 years ago. You're in a church that believes God this way. As the world gets worse and 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 worse. Stop. This is the way this church is going to be. You're just so old-fashioned, preacher. Don't you know it's 2019? Good, come back tonight. We'll find out if you know what month we are. Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word did not change because the day on the calendar changed. That's why we're over here. We're going to look a lot different from the world. Thank you. You can have a seat there, Mr. World. Say why? Because we're not supposed to be like the world. When the Beatles came over in the 60s and crawled out of hell, all the parents were saying, those rebels, look at their bad haircuts. Go back. I don't recommend young people to do it, but go back and look at an album from the 60s of the Beatles, and their haircuts are better than just about every Southern gospel group in America today. Everybody doing all right? Just because Johnny Cash could sing in the bar on Saturday night and in the church house on Sunday morning doesn't mean he was right. And we ought not be bringing the bar songs into the church. I promise you, you stand behind this microphone and sing, you better clean it up and no, none of the slidey, breathy garbage. I'll just sit you down. We're not going to be honky-tonking it here in church. Amen? Our music's supposed to honor and glorify Him, not appeal to our flesh. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry. So, we're not to obey our sinful nature. Number four, we're supposed to obey God, not man. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I am not rebelling against anybody or anything. But I want you to listen to what God says here in Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Can I tell you something? When the government says that I can't get up and preach the word of God, I'm going to get up and preach the word of God. I don't care what the government says. When the government says you have to sanction sodomite marriages, I will disobey the government and obey God. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say I was going to be unkind or hurtful to the sodomites, but I'm not going to sanction their unions in God's eyes. I'm not going to put God's seal of approval on it. By the way, we don't know what the word offend means. They got their feelings hurt. They weren't offended. Their filthy lifestyle offends me. Their rebellion to God offends me. Everybody doing okay? By the way, that's why we're not going to have booze in the church. That's why we're not going to have bingo in the church. Betting and gambling's illegal, unless it's sanctioned by the state or the church. Average Catholic church in America today is a gambling hall in a bar. Say, preacher, aren't you afraid God's going to strike you down with lightning? I'm afraid he would if I didn't say that. God gives us the Bible and the Holy Spirit to guide us. We're supposed to let God be true and every man a liar. He said that God and Jesus were to obey them over the government. The government was trying to keep the apostles from doing the work of the church. By the way, it was the church, not the temple. Jesus did away with the temple. Most religion today is based on the temple. Jesus tore the temple down. He said, I'll destroy it in 3 days, rise it up again. Because what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus started the church, not the temple. He came to fulfill the temple, not carry it on. Did you ever notice in Acts chapter 2, the apostles went to the temple to preach the gospel? Why? Because the gospel wasn't being preached there. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's good stuff. Why do we believe the psychologist over the man of God? I am so sick and tired of Sissy Britch's little spaghetti noodle spine preacher saying, well, you need to go seek professional help. Go see this psychologist. I want to vomit all over them. I know Baptist preachers that are sending people to a lost, worldly psychologist. Well, they need professional help. Then get out of the ministry and make an honest living. There's no better book on how to put human beings together and how they should live than that book right there. If the man of God and God the Holy Spirit can't fix it, guess what? There's a sin problem. And it's probably not the customer, it's the preacher. Everybody doing all right? I had a preacher this morning text me and said, pray for this couple. I won the husband. The wife's supposed to come to church today. I'm praying that God could put them back together. Preacher, I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I said, if you get right with God and get them right with God, it's not a matter of God can't. It's whether they'll let him. God can put it back together. Amen, Brother Don? Amen. Watch that man come into church on a Wednesday, on a Sunday night. Got saved. Came back on Wednesday night. I went and saw, go to his house on Saturday morning. He wasn't there, but his wife was there. Hadn't met her yet. She let us in the door, a little warily, but she did. Sat down on the couch in the living room and won his wife to Christ. Amen. Sunday morning, they come to church. Man, they were listening and God got a hold of them. They came forward and said they'd get baptized that night and said, preacher, can we talk to you after church? I said, sure. We walked into my office. It was just a cubicle about this square in our other building. And they said, Debbie looked at me and said, preacher, you don't know this, but Don and I aren't, we're separated. She said, I left him. Uh-oh. She said, I've been out of town for a couple weeks. We've been trying to clear our heads, but Donnie got saved, and now I got saved. Do you think God could put us back together? I said, I know he can. Yes, we talked for a few minutes. I said, you get baptized tonight. They walked out of my office hand in hand. Oh, just a few weeks ago, we renewed their vows up here. Say, who did that, preacher? God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't send anybody to hell. He made a way for us to escape it. You know, why do we educate ourselves with people who have flawed satanic theories versus biblical truth? Evolution is out of hell. Evolution was brought about in the 1850s and 60s as a way to bring religion to communism. To break down the Bible in the authority of Christianity in the world. Communism and evolution go together. Just so you know. Everybody doing okay? It is so stupid to think that man came from monkey. Isn't it amazing how evolutionists will say, well, these creatures decided they needed to do. What made them decide that? You mamas decided you needed four arms a long time ago. You haven't sprouted two more, have you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Fellas, there's times you know you need a third arm when you're laying under the car and can't reach that wrench. Just because you think you need one doesn't mean it's going to sprout.
Right.
Climate change. Back in the 70s, when I was in school, they were talking about a new ice age. Y'all remember that? They talked about, we have an impending ice age coming. Then we went to global warming. Now everything's cooling off and we're talking about, we could just call it global change now. Climate change. It's just going back and forth like it has been for millenniums. No matter what the government says, we're to obey the Bible. Folks, they'll pry this book from my cold dead fingers before I quit preaching it. Your preacher may end up in jail for some of his stands, but I'm going to be preaching in the jails. Just so you know. You may have to bail my backside out of prison for what I preach, but I'm not changing it for anybody. Everybody doing okay? You met a preacher with a backbone and doesn't wear lace on his underwear. I don't wiggle when I walk and have no desire to. I believe in preaching it as God gave it to us, and we're not going to back off. Got some wet noodle preacher out there that wiggles when he walks, and let's just all get together. Gag. Let's have our preachers' fellowships, and let's all get together and pray with one another that we get along. How about we go out and spend that time soul winning? I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not anybody's enemy, but bless God, I'd rather spend time with you helping my people, going out and knocking on doors, telling somebody how to stay out of hell, than sitting down with somebody across the table that I don't agree with doctrinally. Well, we just need to all get together. We all ought to get along. Well, bless God, I don't plan on getting along with the devil. I don't plan on getting along with the liberals. I have no desire to get along with wrong. Why do I want to sit down with it at a table and get mad about it and get kicked out of there? I'm kind of like old Sam Jones. He went to a lady's house and the cat jumped on his lap and he was rubbing the cat and it was squalling. She said, "Dr. Jones, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way." He said, "Then turn the cat around. I ain't changing." That's exactly the way I believe. I'm not changing the word of God for anybody. If you don't like it, turn yourself around. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9, you need not turn there. The Bible says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." May I tell you something? You get to heaven by obedience to the gospel. Not by knowing the gospel. Not by even being able to recite what the gospel is, but because you obey the gospel. You know for sure that you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. That Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt for you, and that you don't trust your works, your own righteousness, your church membership, your baptism. You just trust what Jesus Christ did, and that alone to take you to heaven. And my friend, that quickly, you're on your way to heaven.
Yes, sir.
That quickly. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. So, well, you have to turn from your sin. You have to repent of your sin. No, the word repentance has nothing to do with that. It means you've gone from trusting your own righteousness and your own works and your own deeds to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the moment you make that transition from here to there, the act of repentance is the act of salvation. You can't turn from your sins. You're still a sinner once you get saved. Well, you got to be sorry about your sins. There's no place in the Bible that says you how sorry you have to be. Show me the barometer of sorrow for sin. It's not in there. Repentance means you go from trusting your own righteousness, Romans chapter 10, verse number 3, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's obedience to the gospel. Let me say this and I'm done. It would be very sad to let a demon from hell be more obedient than a human that God gave a way of salvation and a way of living a successful life. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to let a demon be more obedient than you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please be still and quiet for just a few moments. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is an area of my life that God has spoken to me about today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe you need to obey God with your baptism. Maybe it's church membership. I don't know. You know what you're getting into if you join this one. May I say this in a moment? We'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand for any reason, how about you come forward and kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you've never been saved, we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure you're going to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar. By the way, maybe we ought to do what the demon did not do and get right with God.